You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
All Middle-earth knows the tale of the War of the Ring, but 200 years before that...
Riders of the Mark! Brothers of Rohan!
There was an older tale.
Arise!
We come with an offer to strengthen Rohan.
Hera, daughter of Helm, I, Wolf, seek your hand in marriage.
Our fathers speak as if I were not even in the room.
I do not want to marry you.
You do not seek an alliance. You seek a throne. You will live to regret this, old man. He's dead. You will pay for this with your life.
The boy I knew would never wish for war.
The boy you knew is gone.
Fire!
There's so many of them.
I pledge to fight for my king.
You know nothing of war.
I'm the fastest rider you have.
People need hope, Hera. Something to believe in.
My pride, my joy, you could rule the world.
You think I am afraid of you?
You should be.
What does Mordor want with rings?
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. My name is Dion and tonight we're doing Lord of the Incels, War for the Rohirrim. And I'm joined tonight...
What?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Do I?
Yeah, absolutely. Hello, Quinny, and hello, Beck. How are you? I know, hello. Special guest Beck. Hello, Beck.
Yay! Hello, I'm special guest Beck. It's been a while, but yes. I'm so pleased to be back.
Yay! Look at you. We haven't seen you in forever. Well, we saw you last night, but everybody out there.
Yeah. But even then, you know, it feels like forever when we're apart, Winnie.
Oh, my heart.
Jesus. Okay, this has all got a bit melodramatic, but we are talking anime, so melodrama is par for the course.
My word.
When we're long, wistful looks into the distance, I understand all of these things. Okay.
Slow pans across the landscape. Yeah. Very slow pans.
Very slow pans.
Why is there so much kitchenware in this landscape?
I don't know.
No, that's because they were following Samwise, and that motherfucker carried cast iron from Hobbiton all the way to
and
Mordor.
Salt. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, last night we went, and thanks to Warner Brothers, and we got to go and see a preview screening of the movie that is out on Thursday, which is the longest title I've had this year, The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect. It's so, or Lotta Watta, as I like to abbreviate. There you go.
I mean, technically, it's Lotta Twotta.
Yeah, well,
the War of the Rohirrim.
It's Tlotta Twotta. Tlotta Twotta, but now I'm getting, geez, I don't know.
Anyway, aren't you glad you came back, Beck?
Quality content, as always.
Yeah, quality.
Lotta Twotta that is this film.
Quality content all around.
So, okay, we all know that, you know, some of us are more down with the Lotta of the Rings than others. Beck, what's your level of ring love?
Look,
I'm going to rephrase that right fucking now.
I wouldn't say it that way to start with. That's not what this podcast is about.
Nope.
If you want that one, It's After Hours on Patreon. No.
Yeah. You've got to pay a lot more for that.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, Patreon? Should it be the only fun?
Only Pans.
Yeah.
Only Pans.
Only Lord of the Rings anime. Only Pans.
Only Pans. Jesus.
Look, when it comes to Tolkien, I would not call myself a Tolkien expert by any means. There are actually those out there. I don't speak any dialect of Elvish, unfortunately, but I am a fan of Lord of the Rings. I have read all of the published books and the appendices. So a little bit of a nerd. I spent 2 weeks in New Zealand earlier this year, going from top to bottom of both islands, doing a 14-day Lord of the Rings tour.
I feel like both of you who have both been to official Hobbiton, that would make me the Tolkien jock of this. We're all Tolkien something, but I haven't even been to Hobbiton, so I wouldn't know. You guys, you guys have been.
It's
there.
A pilgrimage, well worth doing. But there aren't even any hobbits in this movie. Spoiler alert!
Oh shit!
There's a hobbit adjacent kind of character, which I would say is the weebish manservant.
Meant to be a child.
He's just short and stocky. Being short and stocky does not a hobbit make you.
Otherwise, I'd be a fucking hobbit. To be honest, I'm much more of a dwarf.
Should we try and quickly synopsize this so we get into it? And also, I don't know, like, how do you guys feel about it? I don't want to get too spoilery in case people want to go and see it, but you guys can spoil away. Just let me know before I put the sign up. But at the moment, I'm not going to talk about spoilers.
As is usual, we'll try and keep it spoiler-free for the first part, and then, you know, do we have a clip that we do somewhere in the middle?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Well-oiled machine.
There was a whole, like, 12-minute preview clip online, and I was like, that's a lot of stuff you're getting there. And they kind of, in the trailer that we just saw, like, it opens with just pictures of the film, and you're like, there's not a lot of film in this. This is a totally separate, they're just trying to remind everyone. It's like, but then you also got to remember, when did this film, like, when did The Lord of the Rings come out?
A long time ago.
20-something years ago.
I didn't want to age anyone, but
So you could have raised a child. That's all I'm saying. You could actually have gone and watched Lord of the Rings.
There was a child on our, I say a child, but he was 19 on our Lord of the Rings trip, who knew more of the lore than anyone else on the tour, and was 19, so was born after the movies had released.
Yeah, okay. Like, it was 2001 was when the first film came out, so quite possibly you could have raised a family in the time, and that family member could now be 5 and watching this going, wonder what that's like.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, God. Well, now I feel
so
old.
There is, like, a question in the chat as to when this particular film is set. It is set, I believe, 180-ish years. Either 130 or 180 years. I don't know why I'm getting those two mixed up in my head.
I'm pretty sure they said something around the 183, says me, looking it up. There you go.
Predakanga. Thanks, Predakanga.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, 183 years before the events of The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, 200 years ago was what, the 1800s for us? So it's
actually not that far back.
Yeah.
No.
In terms of history when it comes to Middle Earth.
But also not much changes in fucking Middle Earth, does it? No. They still have swords. They haven't developed gunpowder.
I don't know. If you ask me, watching this movie, it feels like a lot changed.
Yeah, well, there was a real change in fashion.
Yes.
Like, for a while, they were dressing like Genshin Impact.
Weebs.
There was that weird period there where everybody dressed like that, and then they stopped doing that. They went back to dressing like...
Well, really, it was just this one person.
Yeah. Well, true. Yes. Yes.
So
we'll get into that. Like, Quinny,
get into that.
Do you have a synopsis for us? Would you like some music?
I am old, Father Dion, like butter, too much bread. And I will read for you the synopsis. Are you right there, Eowyn? You're right. You just going to yell over the top of me? Oh, okay, fine.
She's having a cry.
A sudden attack by Wolf, a ruthless Dunlending lord, forces Helm Hammerhand and his people to make a daring last stand in the ancient stronghold of the Hornburg. Finding herself in an increasingly desperate situation, Helm's daughter, Hera, which is a name that was just made up, must lead the resistance against a deadly enemy whose very intent, Master Baggins, on total destruction. Yes. Mm. Is it secret? Is it safe? No, it's just enemy.
I don't know. That was the worst Saruman I've ever heard, Quinny. Oh dear, sorry, shit accents yeah. all around. We didn't even get the choice yes. to say which were the Lord of the Rings characters.
Oh, I'm sorry, chat. I didn't let you tell me which shit accent I was doing.
I would have preferred a Tom Bombadil version.
Oh, fuck.
Shan't, can't, won't.
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, right. Here we are talking about this film. And, okay, we've talked a little bit about our love of... so, Beck, you've read the appendices?
And the appendices, yes. So the Silmarillion and the appendices are two separate things, but
yes.
they often get connected because only massive nerds read either one of them.
But did you read the Book of Lost Tales?
Yes.
Ha-ha!
Dion, where are you at with this shit? How deep is your nerd?
I've read the covers.
How deep is your nerd?
Is your
you read the back page.
I read the covers. I looked at the books and I went, that's nice. I read the DVD bifold. Does that help?
I've read the comics.
I don't comics. Nerd shame. If you've only seen the movies, that is still a perfectly cromulent way to nerd. So enjoy.
To be honest, I read The Lord of the Rings. I read The Hobbit. I fell asleep during The Silmarillion.
Yeah,
like same. It's just perfect, like knockout fuel, which is like I'm just like gonna read a bit of The Silmarillion.
Yeah. I mean, The Silmarillion has that same kind of vibe as the early books of the Bible, where it's just a whole bunch of begatting, and you're like, fucking righto.
But then it does have a bit of smiting. Let's be honest, the Old Testament, you know, that's where you get all the fire and brimstone from. Like, there's a lot of begatting and then there's a bit of smiting, much like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Honestly, anyone who reads the Silmarillion and doesn't take notes or, like, deep nerd it probably can't tell you anything significant that happened in them because it's not memorable.
It's sort of written like a history book. It's not written... like, hey, this fun thing happens and there's some witty dialogue and here's a cool battle sequence. It's like, on this day, the battle of this such happened and the king was such and such. And
But Amazon have been making a very successful series about all of the stuff that was mentioned in these books, weren't they? I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm about. Sorry.
So anyway, imagine that you took one of those stories that was just, hey, on this day, there was a king named Helm, and a battle happened, and he had a daughter, and you took that and you turned it into a movie.
Yeah.
And Hund Bitter was lost.
Was his name Helm Hammerhand?
That's Helm the Hammerhand.
One. Yeah.
Right.
And did he have hammers for hands?
He did not. it's a bit of a non-starter, that one.
Yeah, I mean,
disappointing.
I mean, they kind of did do that in this film. Like, there is definitely a sort of thing because it's literally there in the trailer. He punches a guy and he dies.
Yeah.
Like,
he does a lot of punch death. Like, he's King, one punch man. Totally.
Yeah, he's definitely the monk of this D&D posse. But he's also weirdly hot daddy, which is very strange.
Were you attracted to him, Dion?
Yeah, of course. Every time an anime comes on, I'm attracted to all of the characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So
I must admit, I'm getting you for Christmas.
Laid. No.
You say blade. There's an anime yeah, Blade?
Blade. Yes, the Brave Trinity.
Blade, the anime.
Nice.
No, I must admit, when the film did start, I was looking at the lead character and thinking, you are a willowy young woman surrounded by a whole bunch of hot anime dudes and one hot anime zaddy.
Yeah.
And was just like, yep.
But cool. I love that all of the anime dudes are all kind of pensive and well-dressed and everything, except you've just got hot zaddy who punches living fuck out of everything through the whole movie, which is just kind of funny. But the one thing that I have to remember about it is, if you're talking about attractiveness, I just do not understand how she has like the nice braided hair that's kind of her signature, but also her horse has it. Yeah, if you're wondering about that, it's right here in the screen because I put the horse with the braid that matches her braid on my screen.
Dion, before the movie started, turned to me and said, that horse looks very intelligent.
Yeah, so I was waiting.
So if we ever need to know whether or not a horse appears to have a high IQ, we know who to go to. Yeah.
I've been ruined for horses ever since the horse in Wicked talked, so...
That's an excellent horse.
Or Hercules' horse. Isn't it Hercules' horse that's smart?
Hercules' horse doesn't really
Pegasus
talk.
Pegasus does not talk, but
which is the one with the smart horse? The Disney one.
Mr. Ed?
Or maybe it's DreamWorks one. I don't know. There's one with a funny horse.
Oh, Flynn Rider, and yeah, he has an intelligent
Maximus
horse.
Maximus also doesn't talk.
Yeah, he doesn't talk, but he has a personality, and that's what I was expecting from all these horses, and they did disappoint because they weren't very exciting.
Right. I want to shout out to Missy, who made a joke in the chat, and I think it deserves its air, that the old king, you know, the badass Zaddy should just be called King Hit.
Oh, I feel that in my lockout laws. It's like that's not funny.
I thought it was
those anyway. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a good quip. Like I can't deny the quip, but come on, ow, fuck, too soon. Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about this actual film.
Sure.
Because I feel like we are nibbling around the edges and we should probably dive right in. So it's very long. It is very anime. And I personally have that thing with anime where I am either 100% on board for it or I find myself completely switched off to it. And I flipped the switch halfway through.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult.
You mean flip which way? There's something I need to know. Which way did that switch flip?
I started being very much on board with it, and I'm like, this is doing a really nice job. There was some very nice animation, like so the visuals were big and epic, and you know there was some really clever camera moves. There was some really complex animation shit happening. I'm like, this is pretty fucking cool. Like there was some big battle-y shit that I was like, wow, this is really good. And then it just kept going and it kept going and things got less interesting. And somewhere, I'm not entirely sure where, the switch flipped and I was like, nah, I'm not on board for this anymore, which is sad.
Beck, how did you feel? Did you have a switch flip moment?
I had high hopes in the first minute, I would say. The landscapes are gorgeous. And as someone who has spent the last 9 months saying, I've been there whenever I watch Lord of the Rings, it did still feel, even though it was animated, it was very much the place that is actually there. I have climbed to Edoras. It was Edoras. It's there on the screen still. So you don't really lose that feeling of the genuine landscapes and scenery that you know and love from Lord of the Rings. However, that's kind of where the magic ends for me. The setting is there. The setting is right and feels like the world that we know and love. The characters and the way that they interact with one another leave something to be desired. And the character design, particularly of our heroine, yeah, it's not Lord of the Rings. Sorry, this is, that's not Middle Earth. That's just anime. Anime does generic fantasy.
Mm, yeah. And the weird thing about it is, looking at the like the credits and everything, Weta Workshop was, you know, involved right up to the gills. Like they were providing design work. Richard Taylor was one of the you know, head designers. Quite a few people that we've met through Weta, like Daniel Falconer and that, were involved. And it's like, okay, to what level? At what point in time did that stop?
I mean, that
could, or was it because they
that could have just been providing reference material.
Yeah.
Or giving approval to certain design. Who knows? We don't know any of that.
Sorry. I just shout out to how quick Predakanga was on the shit accent thing the moment I said Richard Taylor.
Hey, you leave Richard Taylor alone. He's a national treasure. sorry, Quinny, I interrupted. Continue.
No,
you already get. Look, it's. I have to admit, I too really stopped at a couple of points at the start there going, I can't tell if that's a photorealistic background.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty good, like, which is very painterly, but it's also very much that anime style, which is, it's definitely anime characters, but the backgrounds, you don't know if they're real or they're not real. And some of those
there times are a few big spinny things where it was like you get to the top of a mountain and they spin around the character and you're like, oh, yeah, you've done some pretty good work there.
But, yeah, I've got to admit, like, I didn't really care too much. I mean, it was very, it's very anime. It's a style, like, and that's what it is. And if anyone who's ever watched an anime before, they follow patterns. And that's okay, because this one is just following patterns. In fact, if I had any, real impetus to celebrate this, I would make a bingo card for people to take into the cinema that they could just cross off all the points where it's literally referencing everything. It's like, hey, did you like The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, specifically the stuff to do with Rohan? You're going to get a fucking biscuit every time. Like, we're going to give you a cookie. It's like, oh, remember this cookie? Remember this cookie? Remember this cookie? Like, every 5 minutes. Yeah, but
remember what happens when you just eat too many cookies?
Diabetes.
Yeah.
But you know, not even a happy coma in this film. By the end of it, I was looking across the side going, really? This is just like, also character choices are dumb. No real good through line person to follow. Some great ideas, you know.
Look, it's long been agreed and acknowledged that Tolkien and many other fantasy writers of his generation had difficulty including women in their stories. And there are many reasons for that. There's whole dissertations that you can read about it if you want. This movie to me felt like someone had gone, we really need another strong female character in the Middle Earth universe. And they went through all of the appendices and they found one daughter who actually plays a big role in this story but is still unnamed, because as Quinny mentioned earlier, it's just like this tiny little snippet of a mention of a war. It doesn't actually go that far into detail, and they decided to expand on this one female character, and I think that the biggest downfall for this movie is that they wanted so desperately to give us another strong female character that they forgot to actually make her a good character, with any depth, with any interest to her. It is just cookie cutter, let's do strong female character in a fantasy setting. And as a result, she loses any credibility. I was not at all interested in learning more about her.
The far more interesting character was sort of her nurse slash...
100%.
Like, so her, would you call her nurse or a
servant?
Yeah, it didn't feel like a servant. Basically, her mentor, who was one of the shield maidens of Rohan,
that's a spoiler, but
is it?
Yes,
sorry,
you don't find that out till later in the movie, but
sorry,
yes, there
sorry.
You go.
whoopsie, you know, is by far a more interesting character who you see as being incredibly competent and fighting like a son of a bitch, and you're like, oh shit, right, go. And there's like there's a whole other story that's probably really cool that's about her learning from that woman and her, you know, kind of becoming and choosing to be the tomboyish, if you will, somebody who doesn't want to be involved in the throne and stuff. And there's so much of that felt really kind of twee as well. Like, I'm all down for a woman who says, no, I don't want to be married off. I'd like to do my own thing. Thanks very much. But
I mean, to
but
be
she
fair,
doesn't even say that.
No.
Well, she.
And at one point, she even says, yeah, I'll marry you. And then the person's like, not good enough. And you're like, what the fuck, man?
To be fair, every single character in this is undercooked. Like, you know, they're all, yeah. I look at it and just go, oh, like, there's some nice concept art. It's like, and their motivation is, Nope.
Isn't it amazing how blank. One movie with so many undercooked things in it can be just completely cooked as a whole?
Yeah. Two wrongs don't make a right, but apparently 20 undercooked characters make for a cooked film. So there you go.
I mean, this is it sort of feels unfair. I mean, it sounds like, oh, this is horrible. It's not horrible. It's just not, like, I don't know why this is a particular huge addition to the Lord of the Rings narrative, because it doesn't really bring anything through. And while it likes to try to nod as hard as it can to the Peter Jackson films, it's not succeeding on the kind of feeling that you got from those films. So it has not recaptured that nostalgia, even though it really tries. And you know what happens? There's a big battle at Helm's Deep, and like all of the wildlings who wear bone masks to hide their faces, but they're not orcs, but you know, we can't, it's just kind of like, oh, this is,
but they're bad guys, so you can't give them faces because that humanizes them.
Yeah.
So that's why the bone masks.
But also, you know, but then there's an outcast family relation who has a whole group of horse riders that is in a banished area who gets asked to, you know, come
rock up at dawn.
It's like, oh,
and ride down a very steep hill. Also, there are eagles.
Yes.
Yes, but this time one of them is white. And they have a somewhat purpose in the film. Purpose.
Look, I get the feeling that we did not particularly enjoy this film.
I wanted to, but
I mean, I really hope that's like, I feel like if you wanted to give someone who liked anime and kind of liked fantasy and they were young and impressionable, it's just superficial enough to go, great. And they can latch onto those things without having to think too hardly about them. But for old wizened people like us, who like the Maya,
she's not wizened.
We've been around for too long. Yes, but she's one of those weird elves. just refuses to age.
Makeup.
Yeah. like we're kind of like the Maya sitting around going, I've seen this before. And you're gonna be mildly disappointing. I don't know why I try. Could be a bit like that.
See, Casper in the chat said, why so much middle of the road Lord of the Rings stuff, referencing Rings of Power. See, I'm pretty sure that you guys aren't a big fan of Rings of Power, are you?
Look, I've now seen all of season one, which I hadn't for a while there because, honestly, the first episode was so boring I fell asleep. But now I've seen it and I watched it. I binge watched it all through in a weekend because I feel like it's one of those shows that I would not want to go back and watch another episode if I didn't just sit down and watch it all the way through. It did not hook me enough to keep me coming back for more.
But you've read you've read the Silmarillion, right?
Yes.
So you're just gonna get angry. you're just gonna be watching that going, sorry, Galadriel has a husband. She can't want to bang Sauron. Why does everyone want to bang Sauron? I know,
because he's hot in that show, you know.
Yeah, Hot Boy Sauron. That's where it's at.
Not in episode one of season two, but that's fine.
Look, my first crush was Jareth. I understand the love for the bad guy, but
Mm. I was sort of thinking the Jareth is a bad guy.
Yeah.
He is. Look, he's there behind me. Okay. no, I understand the hot bad guy trope. Like, that's a trope for a reason. I get that. I feel like Rings of Power season one that I did watch, I feel like they're trying really hard, and a lot of work has obviously been put into this new kind of spin-off, but I feel like they're trying to recapture a magic that they just can't, because the original trilogy was a product of its time, and I don't think that you will be able to go back and recreate that. It was very unique.
No new ideas, just rehash old ones, successful franchises and plots only.
Well, the other problem is that they're doing the opposite of what they did with Lord of the Rings. So Lord of the Rings has the books, the three books, have so much more content in them than the films, Silmarillion's individual like stories in them do. And then the films. So the films cut out all of that excess because, let's be honest, Tolkien loves to waffle.
So they take out all of the waffle.
Exactly. Songs about waffles. Yes. So it cuts out all of that fluff and just gives you the real good meaty stuff and the relationships that we actually care about being built. Mm. Not necessarily sexy ones, but hey, we all know that Sam and Frodo were doing it. Just saying. Yeah. Whereas the problem that they had with the Hobbit movies is that they took one book with very little fluff in it and expanded it out into three movies. And that's why they were shit. And now they're trying to do exactly that. Yeah, well, they're trying to do exactly the thing that didn't work for the Hobbit movies with other stories now. And it's again, it's just not working.
Yeah. I'm a bit more of an apologist for Rings of Power. I actually didn't hate season one, and I actually enjoyed season two significantly more. So there's alternate takes on it. I know that the chat's not been a big fan of it, but there have been moments in that I've actually gone, there was some pretty cool shit in there. And there's also some stuff that wasn't great. So, you know, I recognize it, but also, you know, remember, I'm a Smallville guy. but we can all agree that the Hobbit trilogy was shit, right? Yep, yes. Cool,
as,
good.
As Bilbo said, like butter stretched out across too much bread.
But the reason I ask about this is we've got that, which is the TV kind of stuff, and then we've got this. Which is more successful for you? Like that TV thing that's trying very hard to recapture the PJ original films, or this anime, which is trying to do something different again?
I don't know that either of them are doing what they're setting out to do, but I think that they're failing in different ways.
I think that's a very, very good summation of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you've got a thing that you know, 21 years ago or 23 years ago, somebody hit on basically the perfect version of a thing.
Mm.
And now, you know what I think? I wish to God Del Toro's version of The Hobbit had gotten up, because I think it could have been something very different.
Yes.
And I think it may have given us a different visual style, a different storytelling style, which would then free up Lord of the Rings to not be bound to specifically the Peter Jackson way of doing it.
Well, what's interesting about Lord of the Rings, the original trilogy, of movies I'm talking about, is that when it was originally approved by the company that had originally purchased the rights to the film, they prescribed it to be only two films.
Yeah.
They said, no, this can only be done in two films. You're not having the funding to create a third film. Obviously, the complete opposite to what we have nowadays, where everything's two fucking movies and
every book can be split out over two films.
Yeah, exactly. The opposite of that. And it wasn't until New Line picked them up instead that they were told, no, this is obviously three movies. And I'm really interested to see what those original two scripts looked like, what they cut down to make it into two movies, and whether or not that would have been successful. It is interesting as well that Philippa Boyens, who co-wrote the scripts for the Lord of the Rings movies, was a writer of the story for this movie, The War of the Rohirrim. So she was brought on board as a writer for the original story around this.
And then it got picked up by their daughters.
Yes.
Which was interesting because they wanted it to go to a new generation of storytellers.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering whether those daughters watched a lot of Genshin Impact.
I'm very disappointed in this very heavy-handed version of feminism that we're seeing a lot of at the moment. I don't think it's any secret that I'm a strong outspoken feminist and I love some strong female characters, but I don't appreciate it when it's done in a very shallow and meaningless way. I feel like if anything that undermines the cause for, you know, female characters being just as interesting, just as meaty and worthwhile as male characters. But this particular movie and story is really not doing justice to that at all.
No. And I mean, it's frustrating because there is potentially a much better story there. And it's really sort of frustrating that the bad guys seem to be kind of like, I want your hand in marriage, or I'm gonna kill everybody you know.
And I'm going to kill everybody. You know?
Yeah. And the good dude guys are kind of like, oh, yeah, we're over here.
That's why I said it was a little bit of an incel thing, because the entire motivation for the bad guy in this is like, you rejected me. And am I not good enough?
And you killed my dad.
Yeah. But like, his dad, like, he blamed her. Like, it was a weird thing. Like,
there was also an animation thing that started to bug me after a little while, and this is just a me thing, I'm really sure of it, but anytime the characters talked for long periods of time, which quite often they did because it's a Lord of the Rings thing, they'd do this thing where they'd kind of start, like, their shoulders would start swaying backwards and forwards and their hands, and I was like...
They're just drunk.
Yeah, it really felt like everybody walked with a little bit too much movement. I was like, oh, just fucking sit still.
Apparently it does come in pints in this movie.
Yes, there's... we laughed a lot. That was nice.
Look, should we review this and then go to a clip and come back and talk something else?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
Why not?
Right. I can easily do this. This is going to be real easy. 60. I'm going to give it 60 out of 100. Yeah. It's fine. Like, it's not really doing stuff like colouring stuff. Yeah, okay, give me that face. Fine. Okay, 55. Fuck it. I'll take another one off for the bingo card that exists in there. You have to tick things fucking off. Like, it's very long. It's very stylized. It's telling much of the same stories and relying on nostalgia narrative to carry it through, even though you're watching it going, cool, this could be a new story. Oh, no, it just got like fucking everything that you remember from the films. We're going to make sure that we not just nod to it, but we kind of do a song and dance about it. And that was annoying to me outside of it. Plus the underdeveloped characters, you know, but, you know, it's pretty. And, you know, for a while there, I was having a good time. But 55.
Okay. You have a numerical value that you can throw at us.
I wouldn't recommend it. And I feel like at 50 and over, it's like, sure, why not? Off you go. Yep. Go see this. If you've got nothing better to do with your time. So I'm going to give it a solid 48.
Gotcha. Just under the 50.
Look, it's not, you can take your granny. She won't be offended. That's
no.
but also because there's no actual content to be offended by. So
yeah,
there you go.
I'm similar, and I had a couple of people when I said that I'd seen it, and they were like, "Oh, what was it like?" I was like, "Well," and that's one of the and one of them was like, "Ah, shit, I'm meant to be seeing it next week," and that's the thing. I said to them, "Look, I think it's very pretty, and there's parts of it that you'll probably quite enjoy, and there's some fun battle-y stuff, and you know, there's Myrmekils all over the place, and fucking Haradrim, and all of these, you know, greatest hits of Lord of the Rings. So if you're there for that in an animated format, yeah, you'll probably get a kick out of it. But also, it's fucking stupid.
Also, a little bit of a lack of Rohirrim. I gotta say, the Horse Lords, and then you're like, not a lot of Horse Lords in this. Not a lot of riding around the plains, you know, doing cool horse things.
Though there was definitely a bit where King Zaddy rode around in front of his horse lords and said pretty much exactly the same speech, and you're like, oh, come on.
Yes. Yeah. See, look, so there's a lot bingo of rehashing.
Card. Bingo card.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's go.
So, for me, it's a 50. Square in the middle.
Fuck. Fine. All right, I'm going to go to a clip of this and have a look. Make it for yourself. This clip is available online, so it's a little bit of the movie. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you can just get the vibe of it. How's that sound?
It is not easy to hold on to hope when an ill wind blows. Winter bit hard that year, yet still the siege held fast.
Apart with his bare hands.
Who did?
Helm Hammerhand is no living man. It's not natural, the thing I saw.
He's coming for us all.
Save us.
There you go. Just a little bit of, you know, what's happening in this siege of Helm's Deep? What's it like? Ooh, we don't know. Quinny, you had something you wanted to say about some of the weird.
Oh, just there was a weird piece of marketing that went around like in the last 2 days or something like that, where like Peter Jackson said, "I'll pay for some of your popcorn." It was such a weird piece of
why.
Like, basically, it's like, hey, go watch the movie, send in your ticket stub, and I'll pay for $8 worth of your popcorn. I was like,
so we're like,
I get $8 from Peter Jackson.
So we're like 4% of my popcorn.
Well, I mean, maybe it's $8 US, in which being the case, it's,
oh, sweet. You
know, the UD on the popcorn was free. Don't.
No.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not looking any of those horses in the mouth. I know what I'm about. And I'm also really shitty about the fact that, again, AMC Theatres in the States just rolled out an amazing popcorn bucket to go along with this. Yes, a full fucking big plastic hammer that's in the film comes full of popcorn in there, and I'm like, where's that? That would make my rating go up. It's like, I also got
I'm
this
pretty
cool
sure
hammer.
They're very expensive. I'm looking this up.
Yeah. I don't care. I've seen all the Nosferatu one that came out recently, like all of the popcorn buckets, you know.
I nearly bought you something while I was down in Tasmania, actually. I was down there on the weekend. Please.
I can only have so much syphilis.
Wow. I was at Village Cinemas, and Village at least do get some of the cup toppers. Oh. So they actually had the Wicked...
the Wicked
hat,
cup topper,
like,
right?
Hat cup topper, and right. I was like, I'd nearly buy that. That's kind of cool. They also had the Maximus from Gladiator.
Were they both very sexual? Because that's how you rank how successful those popcorn buckets are. No,
they weren't.
It looks like they're about $40 US.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but I mean,
don't know if that includes the popcorn.
But I mean, come on. Like, think of it, though. If you were going to have, like, some sort of status symbol, it would be having a bunch of those weird popcorn buckets. Because someone's going to find them in, you know, 40 years and be like, holy shit, this is the best. It's the Dune fuck bucket.
The Stein.
Yeah, I know, right. Like, it's a lot of money, but I mean, people will spend money on lots of different things. I'm not going
to
judge.
You are speaking as a man who has a whole room dedicated to tiny Star Wars action figures. I feel like you have a different understanding of what will be cool.
They're not tiny. They're a good size.
Beck, you who have done the cosplaying and so forth.
Yes.
Was there anything?
No, shan't be cosplaying anything from this piece of shit.
Right. Okay. Sorry. But I was like, was there anything in there? Because I just looked at a picture while I was looking at this stupid fucking popcorn bucket. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's some of the design work. Okay. Is there anything in here that, like, the weird bride outfit from the end?
Look, there's a couple of cosplayers who have already cosplayed in the bride outfit, which is what you see in all of the promo material. She's the main character with the red hair, who is the only redhead in the entire movie because anime. She's standing there in an outfit that is obviously meant to look like a bride. You only get that outfit for like 5 minutes of the 17 hours that this movie feels like it goes for. And the reason I think that they're not showing the other outfit is that it is ridiculous. There's no reason for that outfit to exist in Middle Earth. It just
Crazy ass boots.
Thigh high, like up to where your legs meet your body, boots. Why on a woman in Middle Earth? It just
riding horses. What's happen.
More? Oh man.
Yeah.
So yes, I don't think that it's a costume that many people will be cosplaying. Maybe some diehard fans who just enjoy like fluffy stories. And if I want to say that if you enjoy this movie and it's your jam, 100% love it, go for it. If you get joy out of this, then I am very, very pleased.
Shout out to the cosplayer who turned up to the screening last night in the Barad-dûr yes. costume, which I was
the
like,
Eye of Sauron.
The full Barad-dûr.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with eye. Like the eye on the top. Quinny took a photo of. Thank you, Quinny.
Yes, you'll see it in our Instagram. I was very impressed with that. Like, I'll give a lot of credit to the costumers who showed up and, you know, did their best hobbity or elfy kind of thing last night. You know, people were passionate about this. They wanted to look good. And then I saw them slink away at the end going, oh, well. I do want to shout out to one thing that we did find, that, like, we had a laugh at the end. Like, watch it with your friends. You might find a whole bunch of things to have a bit of a chuckle at.
Maybe play a drinking game. Take a swig every time there's a heavy-handed reference to the original trilogy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bingo card it yourself. Like, just watch Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, and every time there is a particular reference to Rohan or the writers of Rohan, just make a note of it, and you'll tick them all off. Fucking tick boxes.
Yeah. Can anyone tell me who the old lady was that was rasping her way through her lines? I don't know why she existed, but
which old lady?
Hey, old lady,
lady.
Yeah, she had the armor.
One in Helm's Deep.
Some random crone.
Yeah, crone. Just a random crone. I was like, oh, good.
Everybody needs crone. One. Every castle's got one.
I think that character's name is Old Pennycrook. Voiced by Janine Davitsky. And the Shield Maiden servant hand is Olwen.
Yes.
Ah,
there you go.
Yes.
I can read.
Yeah, but there was a great moment where they built a giant siege tower. And it's one of the moments in the film that we all kind of looked at each other and went, did that just happen? They've built a giant siege tower so that they can build it outside of arrow range.
Yeah.
So, and it's this huge fucking, what, 100-foot tall wooden
and then it,
tower.
And then it gets bigger.
Yes.
It gets more
it's an
erect.
Extending tower. And the dude who's sitting on the top of the tower drumming is the best character in the film, and I love him forever.
I love it because
he dies.
Yeah.
But he dies like, in a cool way because at least at the end he goes, it's funny.
Look, I just, the more I think about it, the more that Siege Tower is a metaphor.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's just a dick swinging contest.
Yeah, for no real purpose or need. I mean, where was the dump truck full of money on this one, really? To convince people like, oh, come back to and do Lord of the Rings again. It's like, oh, Christ.
So, okay, the history of Lord of the Rings, the very first version of it that was put on film, actually, no, not the first version. There was some weird fucking European one. But one of the first versions of Lord of the Rings ever put on film was an animated film by the animator Ralph Bakshi. Mm. And so I was watching this at one point and went, I'm getting really strong Bakshi vibes here. And I now, just reading up on the process, understand why. They did a lot of the same stuff on this film that they did on that, which was a lot of rotoscoping.
Mm.
So the original Bakshi film, they filmed a bunch of dudes wandering around in silly cloaks and stuff and then just animated over the top of them.
That was the D&D party.
It was.
Very
and,
much.
And so. Then when they needed a giant war scene, they just grabbed some footage from Shaka Zulu and drew over the top of that.
Yep.
But this one, they used quite a lot of rotoscoping to do a lot of that stuff. So that, all of that stuff with the characters kind of just, you know, wobbling around in frame, that was just shit actors.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it may not have been shit actors, but it may have just been people who were like,
I mean,
okay, I'll stand here and pretend like I'm talking.
The couple of orcs that showed up in the film looked remarkably like Bakshi animation. And the wildlings did look like the orcs from the Bakshi animation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like, if that was intentional, that they were referencing Bakshi, cool. Sure. I don't know whether it was, though.
But I'll never forgive him for giving Aragorn a fucking helmet with horns on it.
I'll never forgive him for only making half the fucking story.
Well, he got bored. And he went off and made...
We've all been there.
What was the other? What was the one he made after that? Which was the like other fantasy? Yeah, Wizards, I think it was.
Yeah,
which was just an acid trip. Oh, Fire and Ice. I think it was Fire and Ice, actually. Anyway,
I do love that one of the points that they said one of the biggest challenges for the animation team was the large number of horses in the film. Horses are quite important in Rohan culture, but they're also incredibly difficult to animate, which may explain why there weren't as many horse scenes as you might have wanted, Dion.
Yeah, yeah. But also why they were unnaturally good looking. I see now. Right. Okay. Now, based on real horses. Good to know.
At one point, I did actually start to think whether it was adapted from a series, because there are a few times where I felt like we were getting kind of storyline beats that could very easily have been the end of an episode or another episode. And I've been really looking to try and find if there was any evidence that this was originally written for streaming TV, but I can't find anything, so maybe it's just a bit shit.
So anyway, what do you reckon? This or Kraven the Hunter? Which one is going to duke it out on Thursday's release for the race to the bottom? Come on. What do you think?
What do you think?
I don't know, just stay home.
No. It's Thursday release.
That's my recommendation if you're trying to decide which to go watch.
Thursday release day is cinema every day with as much popcorn as you can fit. Into yourself.
Look, some people in the chat are rewatching Game of Thrones, and that sounds like a great alternate plan. Maybe just stop before the final season.
Which one? Which Game of Thrones?
House of Dragon or normal Game of Thrones?
Normal.
Oh.
Okay.
You know, Vanilla. Look, did I say this before? Like, I watched all of Game of Thrones from start to finish, again, like sort of back to back. And I have to say that Daenerys's descent into madness makes a lot more sense when you're watching it happen quickly.
Here's the thing that I struggle with a lot in there seems to be two camps of people. One camp really loves the staggered release of shows, and I understand why. And I remember distinctly when Game of Thrones was coming out. We were all talking about it. We all got together, you know, every week to watch it, and it was a whole thing. It was a very kind of cultural touchstone moment for a lot of people. But I do feel like, Dion, you've hit the nail on the head. You lose a lot of the story, especially in these more complicated and complex tales with many moving parts and many different characters and subtle changes, when you are only watching them once a week. If you're not keeping up with everything in a binge session.
I will go back. I talked last week about Dune Prophecy. Again, touched on it, and it was done the week before as well, because I'm still going through with it. And one of the things I was bitching about is the fact that they weren't getting into the Landsraad, which is the ruling sort of families of how they keep the system going. And just this week, the half of the episode is dedicated to the Landsraad. And I was like, well, see, there you go. I've been reviewing stuff, especially that one, going, it's not great. I'm feeling it a bit shit. But see, that I feel like I should watch the whole thing and then come back and say. But
see, you know, I know exactly what you mean, Beck, and I'm very much in two camps. In that,
I only gave you two options, so
I know, right? In that, I like the cultural thing of an ongoing weekly thing, because it gives people a chance to talk about shit, and it gives people a chance to get invested in things over a longer period of time, to come up with their own ideas, to build. And it also levels the playing field for everybody to be able to talk about the one episode at the one time. Whereas binging gives you a better story. I don't think there's any question about that. And it will give you a narrative cohesion that is unlike anything else. But it also means, from a perspective of a TV company, in one weekend, all of that money of their marketing and everything is done. But also, from a cultural perspective, like Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, if something doesn't stick the landing, in the matter of 2 days, it can be out of public consciousness entirely.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm kind of like, I like both. I want to be able to talk about stuff with friends and know that we're all on the same page. But also I want a good narrative. Is that too much to ask? Apparently, yes, it is.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Unbelievable. You just want something that isn't actually possible, Quinny.
Yeah, it's true.
People in the chat are talking about this middle ground that many shows seem to have taken, which is like Arcane and Vox Machina, the chunked release. So rather than dropping the entire season at once, they chunk it out into, I think with Arcane it was 3 releases.
Yeah. I don't mind that, because then you get, especially if it's written with the intent of there being sub-arcs, like, you know, that works for me. You've got a little mini movie each week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why can't they just invest heavily in a franchise like Star Wars, where, you know, you get a couple of movies and then just ceaseless TV shows to follow along. And if one doesn't work, they just can it.
Yes.
Go back to it. See? Yeah. Worked for Star Trek, and that's a flawless series.
Oh, man.
No matter what
I've
happens.
Still never seen a single episode.
Well, maybe we can get you together and you can watch some Star Trek, Beck, and Quinny could watch The Fucking Sound of Music.
Oh, God. Now, Beck hates the fact that I haven't watched The Sound of Music too. Well done. Hope you're happy.
There is no sequel.
This for ages.
There's no sequel, Quinny. It's not Sound of Music 2. It's just Sound of Music.
I actually feel like Quinny has been brought on to a far lesser commitment than me watching all of Star Trek.
We won't make you watch all of it. We'll just make you watch Deep Space Nine.
No, just watch Enterprise. That's the best one.
Oh, get out. Yeah, what else have people been watching? Well, like, I know we're going to wrap up soon, but I just want to know, what else have people been watching?
I've been doing. I'm just going to jump in there. Just remember, everyone, don't forget, next week is Holiday Thirst Traps, and I have been watching as many Hallmark movies about the hot guy going back to, you know, his hometown as I can possibly get in preparation for it.
You just sweaters everywhere.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Excellent. Look, I have been watching a couple of Christmas movies that are bad, but I love them. I still love them. But I haven't watched Hot Frosty or any of the other Thirst Trap Christmas films. I've been watching Lindsay Lohan's Return to Fame and Glory through Hallmark Christmas movies. That's been great. The most recent one released just this year also includes Kristen Chenoweth. So that's a fun time. If you want some trashy Christmas time stuff, that's there for you.
Yep.
I will disappoint everyone by saying that I was present while Arcane was playing on my television, and I can't tell you a single thing that happened in that entire season. I'm very sorry. I do not think that that show was built for people with ADHD. I can't follow it.
I mean,
right. One guy shaved his facial hair off, and he came on screen, and I was like, I've never seen this man in my life.
Who is that strange?
As
I've asked before, is the Jinx cosplay the Harley Quinn of
I'm
the
being
now?
Told, yes, it is. But I'm being told that he didn't shave it off. He grew his facial hair. And either way, a change of facial hair, completely different human being to me. That goes for real life people as well, just so you know. If you show up without a beard one day, Dion, you're dead to me. I've never met you before.
It's funny how many people have actually done that, or I've turned up without a beard and people are like,
yeah,
no.
I did it once and Dion was like, can you put something over your face, please?
I made you wear that fake beard.
You did.
I did.
You literally made me wear a fake beard because he didn't like my face.
No, it was too weird.
And you know what?
Weird.
I don't blame him. I have been watching The Creature Commandos, first two episodes of the new beginning of the DC Universe. And it seems like the new beginning of the DC Universe feels an awful lot like a James Gunn film.
Yeah, it's got that cool, quirky soundtrack.
It
and
does.
They're doing slightly different things. And it's a bunch of characters.
There's a bit of sex and a bit of violence.
That's
I didn't mind
fine.
It. Actually, I'm finding it quite entertaining, but... yeah, and musical choices, if nothing else. James Gunn's got a fucking great ear for music.
Mm. Yes, it's true. I've been watching The Day of the Jackal.
Have you now?
Yes, you might remember that. The Bruce Willis film. Nope, don't remember The Day of the Jackal?
Not really,
as it was called, The Jackal. It starred Jack Black and Bruce Willis. How do you not have seen this film?
How do I not have seen it?
Exactly.
I'm never going to be invited back.
Based on a book from ages ago, but it's quite good, and it has what's his name? I forgot his name. Eddie Redmayne. You know, Eddie Redmayne, who I consider kind of like Nicolas Cage. It's really hit or really miss with Eddie Redmayne. Like, he either does a really good job or he does terrible, terrible work. In this one, kind of good. And again, this is an episodic one that I'm quite enjoying. That kind of spy thriller thing going through.
Pritikanga's made an interesting recommendation in the chat. Interior Chinatown said it's got that TV series/real-life switch from Kevin Can Fuck Himself, but based on police procedurals instead of sitcoms. And I'm going to give that a go because there were elements of Kevin Can Fuck Himself that I thought were very funny, but also I found it incredibly depressing, so I stopped watching.
Sure. Also,
I watched a documentary recently that I really enjoyed on Netflix called Buy Now, The Shopping Conspiracy.
Oh.
If you want to get into how depressing our consumerist culture is, especially since the dawn of the internet and online shopping, that's a really interesting one to watch. And it has some ex-CEOs of major companies like Adidas talking about what the reality is like for them behind the scenes and how we've gotten ourselves into this horrific mess that we're in.
Cool. Yep. I mean, sounds upbeat and great, but at the same
time. I love it.
I do enjoy a really good, like, you know, hard-hitting documentary about, you know, the real world sometimes.
Man, it's a good one to watch, especially given if you're in the Australian convention scene at the moment and following the issues with Sheehan we're seeing at the moment. It's a really good one to watch.
I know nothing of that, but I'm sure I will find out.
I'll do you a deep dive later on, Dion.
Here, let me Google that for you.
Awesome. Sure. And Dion, I know this is potentially opening a can of worms, but your thoughts on Skeleton Crew?
Again, as I've said, flawless.
Gonk at the ring.
No, we did this. We did all this last time. You weren't here.
Sorry.
I was allowed, the chat gave me a lot of room to hang myself. I'm having a nice time with it. It's fine. There's some fucking deep cuts that I'm going through with this. So I'm just kind of like, I was watching shit come on the screen and I'm like, they fucking didn't. Holy shit. I'm down for this. There's a nerd behind the wheel.
The deepest cut that I saw that I didn't even know until I read about it was referencing Captain EO.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck?
And you know the two main characters.
Do you know what Captain EO is?
I do not.
Okay. So let's talk fucking deep cuts of weird shit. And this should be right up your alley because it's Disney related.
Ooh.
So in the 80s, they released a 18-minute long film starring, unfortunately, Michael Jackson, that was a science fiction film in 3D, written by George Lucas, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, called Captain EO. And it's a dance, like it's got two dance numbers and it's a science fiction. And they're pulling characters and monsters out of that for Skeleton Crew.
Yeah, but did you notice that Captain EO and his, I can't remember, but his offsider, who is an elephant trunk man, look exactly like women, Neil?
Yeah.
And in the cage, in the pirate den, there's actually one of the flying furry creatures that's in Captain EO.
Yeah.
Did you see the deepest of deep fucking cuts is that Neil's family was watching on their holodeck table the dancers from the holiday special roll out across, and I was like, no, they didn't. Oh my god, that's canon now. It's fucking canon. Now I need them to reanimate Bea Arthur and have her come out and give a weird performance. That's all I need now.
And some very questionable drag from some various other performers.
Sure. I mean, you're not going to have, you know, it's not going to be great across the board, but yes, Skeleton Crew's fine. It's fun. It's just doing stuff, you know, when you watch it with a critical eye, you're like, they're not as smart as, like, we're not as dumb as you think we are. We know exactly who's in that opening scene, but fine. You know, there's the twist, but kids are going to love it.
Yes. Yes, there are all these things that you will be able to watch over the Christmas break. Mm. And yeah, we will be taking some time off over that break as well because we're all, you know, tired.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm going back to my cave after this one. Bye.
Yeah.
No, don't forget, next week we have to come back for Thirst Traps.
I may return for Thirst Traps.
I'm including Kraven the Hunter in the Thirst Traps. Okay. He's got his shirt off.
You're going to
Is
watch
that all
Kraven
it takes
Hunter
to be
tomorrow
a
night,
Thirst
deal.
Trap?
Yeah. That's all it
takes. Be shirtless.
Shirt off.
Okay, I'll take my shirt off now. And does that make me a thirst trap?
I am thirsty.
Yes. Please.
The chat. I'm just imagining that if I did, and you're suddenly like, I'm not thirsty anymore.
The chat can only get
so. I've never been more dry in my life.
The chat can only get so erect, Quinny.
Actually, now you've said that, Quinny, it's occurring to me that if you're dry, you are thirsty, but if you're the opposite of dry, you are what?
Moistened.
Parched?
No, the opposite of dry is not parched. That's literally the same thing as being dry.
The opposite of dry is being in your moodeng zone.
Aren't we all? Aren't we rolling all? Our way to 2025 in our moodeng era?
Biting anyone who comes within.
Yeah.
Angrily thrashing. Moodeng. That's me. Dear. Yes. Thank you all. Thank you in the chat. The chat has been quite active tonight. It's great.
The chat has. Predikango wants to say hi to Chip.
Mr. Chip.
Oh. Mr. Chip.
You can all say hi to Mr. Chip.
Oh, look, a cat in the Zoom call. Yay!
Hello, Mr. Chip. Yeah.
Yeah, stay for this good quality content at the end.
There you go.
Yeah, he looks so impressed. Chip is just having the best
always
time.
This is his default face.
Yeah. Default's like, ugh. Oh, the internet again. All right,
and
fans.
We can't show you the papa because the papa is on the mend.
Yes, the papa is unwell, but we'll hopefully recover soon. If you've heard coughing in the background during this call, unfortunately, that is the papa. Yeah. But he's on the mend.
It does sound like an old man in the background going, what's going on?
It's either the dog or the boyfriend, one or the other. Who knows?
Wonderful.
Possibly both.
Chip needs a thumbnail. Oof. Oh, no.
God.
Clip that one.
There you go.
God.
Okay, fine. Dear. Thanks, everyone. Could we get a rate anyone, or we don't really know? I don't know.
Let's have a look.
I haven't done that for a while.
Who are we rating? Who do you want to raid?
We did read that, but and don't forget, like, go and see Lord of the Rings the war for the Rohirrim if you want it.
If you feel like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah. If you've got literally nothing better to do with your life, sure.
Do you like Lord of the Rings? Do you like anime? Do you want to be mildly dissatisfied with both of those different things? Maybe go watch this one. Peter Jackson
Thanks
will give you.
Thanks for having me back, friends. Thanks for having me back, chat.
Peter Jackson
Thank
will
you.
Give you
Thank
8 bucks.
For joining
yeah,
us.
Thanks for coming on.
There is nobody that I know that is currently doing their thing.
Oh, okay.
The only ones that I'm saying are all in other languages that I don't speak. So, and
excellent.
I don't know whether they're nice people. So,
yeah,
you know what? Let's just give each other love. Say we love each other, and then
we love our bread, we love our butter, but most of all, we love each other.
No,
that's great.
It's Madeline.
Yeah. It's Madeline. Okay, right. We're going. Goodbye. Good night.
Bye. Thank you. Goodbye. Bye now. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.